Welcome to another episode of the Jonathan Project Podcast. Our purpose is to help men navigate the complexities of the world around them and to become the man that God wants them to be, being the iron sharpening iron. And we take the biblical example of Jonathan and his loyalty and friendship with David as our inspiration for this podcast. So, Jason, good to see you. Welcome to another show.
Hey, brother. Good to see you. Lots been going on.
Lots been going on, to say the least. So I want to start off the show to just kind of let everyone out there know, hey, I apologize that the new episode didn't come out on Tuesday. It's obviously beyond Tuesday when you're hearing this, whenever you do hear this. So I apologize. But, you know, me and Jason are real people. And, you know, for a lot of you that listen to know, the last probably 2 or 3 weeks here where I live in the Tampa metro area, I'll just leave it that general, it's been pretty rough, to say the least, right? And on top of that, there's some other things going on in life, just typical storms of life, nothing that no one else out there is facing. But with all that to say, you know, this aspect of my life, my religion, my faith, my relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, more detail, is something that I take very serious. And, you know, as I've matured over the years, you know, and now I've gotten to this public space of with my faith podcast, books, and all the other things that, you know, I'm involved in a public way. Sometimes I have to step away when the storms of life get a little too much, right? Because I never want to diminish in my own struggles what Christ is calling me, I believe, to serve him in my little way, my little piece of the pie here in the kingdom along with Jason. So, you know, he graciously, as one of my Jonathans, came along and said, hey, man, I understand. So I took some time, hung out with my son, kind of hit the reset button. And here we are late on Tuesday night for all of you wondering. But yeah, I just wanted to let all you guys know that's what was kind of going on. So,
no, man, I'm going to tell you, like you said, the hurricane came through. I prayed for you and your family and everybody out there almost all night. Really, you know, it's really good to hear from you as you and I text as best we could during that time. And
yeah,
of course, you know, my heart goes out to the people in Western North Carolina right now as well.
Yeah.
And we got some good people up there that are,
you know,
a buddy of mine, Tyson, his church is doing a lot. Another buddy of ours, Ben, just took off in his own vehicle, bought a bunch of chainsaw generators, was going up to hand it out. And, you know, definitely for those up there, prayers are definitely praying for you guys. And, you know, and during this time. And what's interesting and where we kind of went with this was that has become a very political hotspot. And it was kind of, as we talked about how now's the time to talk about politics as we enter into this, because as Christian men, it's something you have to engage in, right? Like it is the arena that you engage in.
Yeah.
And you know, Colby, I was kind of sitting there thinking and reading through, and I love our best friend, Jesus. And he had, there was a sense of politics going on at his table, right?
Yeah.
And he, you know, as we get ready for the Last Supper, and he's got two people there. He's got Matthew, the Levite, who is the tax collector. And for those of you that don't understand what that meant was, is this guy said, I have the enforcement of the Roman army to come collect those taxes. And whatever over the tax that guy collected, he got to keep. So he was living a pretty good life.
Yeah, he was incentivized to cheat the people.
Yeah, and the Roman army is pretty good at scuffing folks up.
They were some tough boys back in the day.
Yeah, when you spend all of your wars at a 3-foot sword, if that, you're getting it on. Yeah. So those dudes were taking that cash. Well, on the polarized opposite of that political statement was Simon the Zealot, who hated Rome. Right. And it's interesting as we look at our nation and we look at two very polarized political views and we see this reflected in the Bible.
Yeah.
Right. And I, you know, what united them was Christ. And I think that's where, as Christian men, that's our focus. We're kingdom men. You and I have talked about it. And we're, you know, for those of us out there listening, Colby and I talk about everything when we talk to one another. We even talk about politics. Yeah. You know, neither one of us have our faith in that. We have our faith in Christ Jesus, but we do talk about it. And when you look at what is Jesus had this at his dinner table too.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know what Jesus talked about during that time? Salvation.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't look at Matthew and go, you're right. He didn't look at Simon and go, you're right. It never comes up. He has another thought.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, just as I was kind of thinking about that, he didn't say who was right. Jesus's mind was on eternity.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was trying to look at some of the rest of the Bible, Colby, about, you know, like, what does God say about rulers? And I think that's important as Christians for us to look at what does God say? And then let's shape that lens, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever checked out the phrase in the Book of Kings or Chronicles before every single king? I'm sure you have, because Colby, you're super smart on Bob. But it says they either did evil in the sight of the Lord or they did right in the sight of the Lord.
Yeah, it was black and white. It was pretty straightforward, you know. And that's a good segue kind of to, you know, my opening kind of thoughts on this topic. And we went back and forth, and, you know, for all those that listen, we kind of have touched on this. I mean, it was in season one in some ways, but really, as we're less than a month from now, we will have a new president of the United States either way. Mm. And, you know, for all those out there, if you haven't kind of got a clue, I can give you a definitive fact that God is not surprised and you already know who won the election. So where does that leave us? And I often think about this. This is where I start when I have these conversations pop up, especially with friends and family, you know. I'm quick to listen and I'm very slow to speak. And it often what strikes me is most Christians begin with the wrong question, Jason. They're asking constantly, who should I vote for? Rather than the most important question is, how should I vote? Right? And understanding why God gave us government. That's the truth. It wasn't this magical thing that humans came up with where they came up with government. Government is something that the Lord instilled within us, right? Because he has a kingdom. He has a government. And one day, he's going to rule and reign. And it will be an absolute monarchy. It will be zero wavering. It won't be any, hey, I'm going to vote this way. I'm going to do my own thing. I felt this way. This person represents. It's none of that.
Yeah.
So, as believers, we really have to start with, how should I vote? And it's something that me and Jason said many times, is that the church of Christ, the bride of Christ, those who have chosen to follow him and take his name as Christians, those who follow him, you are an ambassador. And I know that a lot of you out there, many of you do that are listening, do have experience with ambassadors the way that maybe Jason and I have. But an ambassador, there's no gray. There's no ambiguity. You are either for the country you represent or you're a traitor, right? Yeah. And we have to take pause and think about, in all aspects of our life, and I'm going to touch on this later, but these are just my initial thoughts. In all aspects of our life, once you make that declaration and you take the free gift that Christ died on the cross for, you are lock, stock, and barrel bought into the kingdom. And you must adhere yourself to kingdom principles, not to what's going on at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, which is Washington, D.C. Because here's a brilliant note, if you haven't noticed, 50% of the problems are whatever stream of crazy that you think that is doing wrong. I'm just going to be that blunt, say it. Neither one of them are doing a stellar job if you look throughout history, right? But those are kind of my initial thoughts, Jason. It's like we have to frame ourselves in the right mindset.
Yeah.
And ask the right question before we try to dive into something that is so divisive.
Look, I think you hit the nail on the head about what's the right question. And, you know, when I looked at that, I love those phrases because God describes all those kings, you either did evil, you did right, but both those have in common in the sight of the Lord. And it tells me that God's eye is on the ruler, right? Mm-hmm. He really is, or on rulers. But we are ambassadors. And I love how you phrased it. You know, it's like we talked about earlier. An ambassador acts on behalf of the nation he represents. So if we're Christian ambassadors, we have to think about it from that optic. If I go to another country and I look at that ambassador and he does not work on behalf of the United States, it's real simple. He's a traitor, right? Like you are there on behalf of the United States. And part of that optic is understanding, like in Daniel, the second chapter, it says God removes kings and he sets up kings. Mm-hmm. So not only is God watching them, God's putting them in place. And the scary one, and I think this is something that's really relevant, because like you said, 50% of the problem, whatever crazy you want to espouse to, right? In Romans, when it talks about the Pharaoh, you know, the famous guy in Exodus that lost the Egyptian army to, I believe, the Red Sea. Hmm. I did have somebody once say, well, you know, it's really only probably about an ankle deep of water and a big wind kind of blew. And I'm like, so what you're telling me is the Egyptian army drowned in an ankle deep of water? That's super impressive too. So,
yeah.
But
which amazingly, just to throw in aside, just a nerdy note here, is that they have found, dating back to one of the earliest dynasties of the Egyptians, chariot wheels in the Red Sea. So again, the more that you dig in the ground, the more that you prove that the Bible is true. But anyway, that's a whole nother podcast episode. But
well, Paul says, you know, when he talks about it, God raised up the Pharaoh for his purpose.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't think this is where, so God was always interested in turning Israel back to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what's interesting with the Pharaoh is, you know, when they had the frogs that was everywhere, mm-hmm. by the way, they had some deity they worshiped that looked like a frog or something, which is kind of, but the Pharaoh goes, you know, he gets fed up with the frogs and he looks over and he goes, let my people go. And he goes, okay, in the morning. Like that Pharaoh was going to spend one more night with those frogs instead of just going, get out now and get the frogs with you.
Yeah.
That's, you got to think about that, you know, when he talks about leaders.
Well, that's how divisive people can be and how, as the Bible tells us, how wicked the heart can be. And it kind of takes me to, you know, another thought is, how often do we, collectively we as Christians, right? We like to switch up books when it's convenient. And politics is one of those times where I want to change up the book and I want to change the rules, because this is something that, you know, I've heard people say, well, you have this civic duty and you have this obligation to Old Glory to win the day as you cast your ballot, right? And I'm not trying to make light of it. We do. We can't go out in the woods, as you've heard me probably say on the podcast, and just, you know, turn our hands up and just pray. There is a practicality, and the God of the Bible doesn't do magic. But what he does do a really good job of, when you look at the examples that Jason is pulling out, is he reveals the heart of a society and a culture, and he doesn't show favoritism to man. So when we see these things reflected in our culture as Christians, we should ask ourselves how much of the light is shining, because what we're seeing around us, there's an absence of light. You know, darkness is not a thing. Evil is not a thing that is created. It is an absence of something. Evil is an absence of good. Darkness is the absence of light. And the church is called to be salt and light. And so when we switch up the books and we want to look at the book of man and say, oh, well, you know, the Constitution or wherever you're at in the world listening to this, whatever your, you know, governmental central document is, and you want to put that ahead of the precepts of the Bible, and you're not going back and looking at what the Bible has to say. Again, how should I vote? Not who should I vote for? Because the Bible has, it talks about it. It's not going to talk about all our little nitty gritty issues, but it should guide you. There's everything we're facing, from immigration to you know, abortion, which, oh, by the way, the right to live doesn't just stop once a baby pops out the womb for everyone out there. It goes all the way till a person dies, the way that the Lord sees it. All these issues are covered in this thing called the Bible. But when we substitute it for man's wisdom, man, oh, man, do you get into some trouble, right? So that's one of the things that I see is we too often as Christians like to compartmentalize, oh, this is my faith, and I'm going to put it into this little neat little box, you know, when it comes to, you know, politics or whatever, pick your favorite thing.
Well, you know, I've watched both political parties bring up Christianity as part of their in different statements, right? Yeah. Well, this person goes to this church or this person goes to that church or whatever. But the truth is it, like you said, God's eyes on it, but God's eyes on you first. Your eternity is what counts. And when you get that straight, you develop that relationship with Jesus and you begin, if you pray for our leaders, and I absolutely do, and I think everybody should, don't forget God can influence the leader in the White House. It doesn't matter who is put in there. God can influence. It says God builds kings. Nebuchadnezzar, wasn't he the one that decided, hey, I've done all this good? And God said, why don't you go out in that field and act like an animal for an extended period of time?
Yeah.
You know, when I looked at, you know, I did watch the vice president debate, and I watched two people, what appeared to be a very civil debate when my TV wasn't freezing. But it made me stop and think about, you know, the prince of this world. And I remember in the temptations when he says, hey, you know, it tells Jesus, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. When we talk about the prince of this world and he bargains with what he has, and I think about his soul strategy. Mm-hmm. If you're a man of God out there, and this is going to ring true, Satan's only strategy is division, is to divide.
Yep.
Think about it. From the time he is in heaven, he divided the angels, a third of the angels, away from God. Mm-hmm. He comes down to earth and he says, hey, I'm going to divide Adam and Eve.
Right.
He tried to divide that household. And Jesus says a divided household won't stand, right? Or a divided house will not stand. And so when you look at it, and all throughout, David from Absalom and, you know, and all these things, Jonathan from his dad, Saul, and Jonathan and David together. There's a division, you know, where he tried to, he had that other, but their friendship prevailed. Yeah. When we look at the disciples, remember we talked about the Lord's Supper. Jesus is like, get them together and says, hey, I got to talk to you guys. By the way, politics was there at the table. And he says, I'm going to talk to you guys. We're going to have this supper, and they're arguing about who's the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this division occurring. And Jesus says, I'm going to wash their feet, refresh them. I'm going to do this, right? And then even during all that time, he's trying to get them to focus not on what's going on at the moment, but on eternity. And I think, just like you said, how should we vote? Not who should we vote for, how should we vote? Right. What are those principles that are out there?
Yeah.
I guarantee you, here's something else, Colby.
Mm-hmm.
In the state of Alabama, there's 10 amendments to the Alabama Constitution, right? That's coming up.
Yep.
I bet you majority of Alabamians do not know what those 10 things are for. Some of them are pretty important.
Yeah.
Right? That's things that affect us locally.
Yeah.
But no, I think all the things, like you said, it's what's the optic. So, and is it divisive? As a Christian, you and I talk a lot of, we talk about everything.
Yeah.
But I think because we focus on Jesus more important than any of the politics or anything else, it helps.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, and, you know, for the guys and, you know, our female audience and, you know, anyone else that may not even believe that listens to us, really, as we're talking about politics, you know, from a biblical standpoint, there's a couple central themes, you know, and the most important one is one that Jason's hit on, talked about the Bible, and one that I hit on, but I want to hit on it a little bit different light here too, is when you look at, if a person came to you right now, let's just use practicality and said, hey, I'm having an issue with my personal life, and you're a believer, rhetorical here, obviously, but where would you turn to for a source, or where are you coming from your source of truth to help that person? You know, if a person said, hey, I'm dealing with, you know, family issues, where are you turning to get your source? Because the scripture solves individual and family divisions. The thing that Jason talked about, the Bible can unite and bring things together. And it's because the scripture goes to the central kind of theme that I want you to kind of think about in this point is the government is a divine institution because God is sovereign. His will has, for the next however long the United States exists before Jesus returns, he knows who's going to lead this nation, right? And I would encourage you to kind of read into the Bible. And it kind of helps you put into perspective where you the U.S. fits in God's kind of prophetic and the biblical kind of timeline. We have a role in a place as believers, but the church is uniquely called to do what? To represent the kingdom, not a particular country. And, you know, and that's important to understand. And there's really kind of four systems of government in the Bible. And a lot of people, as you point out, Jason, and we talked about this here in Florida, there's a couple key things on the ballot in a quote unquote red state that most people would kind of ears would perk up. One of them is to legalize drugs, marijuana. So, again, whatever stream that you subscribe to, kid yourself not that they do not line up with the kingdom 100%. So you have self-government, which is you can look at Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14 of how we as individuals are to live in a light, an attitude of being self-governed to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You have family. As men, you are what? The head of the family government, if you would. You're to shepherd. You're to lead. Plenty of scriptures on this. Genesis 1, 26 through 28, Ephesians 5 and 23, 1 Corinthians 1, 1 and 3. The church. There's leadership in church. Civil government. Romans 13 is a good example of that. So I say all of this, we go on and on and on, but it's really, as my good buddy has said so many times, it's really simple. You boil it down to where is your source of truth coming from? Is it coming from talking heads on whatever political TV that you like to watch? Is it coming from your hope and belief in a certain candidate or a certain party? When it really should be, the source of truth is a person and it has a name and it's no variation. There's no shadow. There's no turning. Or is in the political world, there's no flip-flop. Jesus Christ is a constant. And that should be the point of all truth when we're going to vote. And that's how we should vote. Not who, again, and I keep wanting to emphasize, is how you should vote. It's an attitude that you should take into that box.
You know, Colby, you hit a nail on the head. And I go back to, you know, really the double strategy of division. And I'm a firm believer. I like how our best friend, when he was sitting at the table and he had those two political polarized opposites sitting there, he doesn't record their political discussion in any way. And I think that when we run across people like that, the very first thing is just like this, what's your optic? Beyond the lifespan of our nation will be eternity, right? And we're all going to enter into eternity before, you know, hopefully before our nation ends, right? And so forth. But that's really the focus. And if guys don't think that there's division, not in just political thing, never forget in the book of Job, Satan left one person there to talk to. It was his wife, right? Now, we'd probably be in trouble about this, but that's the truth. Because, you know, if you've been married for a while, there can be some division. But it's through Jesus Christ that solidifies.
Yeah.
And that's a huge one. I think if you don't look at, and then I'm going to shift gears to what you had to say about it. If you don't look at the Bible for truth, and I wrote a couple of things, but what I really do like is the book of Romans here. And it's actually Romans 1:21. So in psychology, there's this thing, right? There's this construct.
Yeah.
It's a fancy way of saying there's an idea. Feel free to use that out there. It's a $5 word. Use it. For 50 cents.
All right. Yeah, don't take it as disrespect.
Don't take it as disrespect anybody else. But they have this idea that as you begin to do things, your behavior affects your attitude, right?
Yeah.
Good and bad. Yeah. And in here it says, because they didn't glorify God and they glorified themselves. And it talks about how they became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was dark. In other words, you drink enough of your bathwater, you're going to go a little crazy.
Hmm.
And that's where a lot of people have their truth, right? Because, well, it feels good to me. Well, that must be the book of Jason, also known as the book of heathen. And it doesn't work, right? Like, how long has that religion been around?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
You know, not that long. Well, unless you ask my kid. And I'm like, I'm born in the Civil War and the Revolutionary War or something. But I thought about this, and it comes down to, how's your heart? How are you not pulling a Pharaoh? Because Pharaoh, if you look, and I love the story, and just pay attention, go back and read it tonight or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Hey, Pharaoh spent another night with those stinking frogs, and he hardened his heart. And then it goes, God hardened his heart. At some point, God turns you over to that reprobate mind. Yeah. So how do you not be in the Pharaoh where you're on the roller coaster and it locks down? You're like, oh, we're in it for now. So it comes down to a bifurcating pathway of obey or disobey, right? Let's start down that very first road. And then let's think about some things, right? Where's your happiness? Where do you view the world? What's your world perspective? Are you content? Or do you feel like, hey, I deserve this or deserve that? Because when you start looking at, well, I deserve this, then it's not a blessing. Nothing's a blessing.
Yeah.
Right? And look at, maybe you find something in the Bible that you go, man, I felt this way, but this is what the Bible says. I got to stick with it. So how do you deal with that correction?
Yeah.
You got kids. I got kids. None of them like to be corrected.
Yeah.
Right? Like I've offered my son when he was young many off-ramps. I'd be like, hey, stop doing what you're doing. And he would like, okay, yeah, I got it. And then he would be right back at it. And I'm like, hey, we just had this thing. Don't do it. And then it would be, hey, I'm going to get the wooden spoon out. And he would be like, I don't know, you know, just whatever, grumblings. And then it would be, hey, do you see it? Do you realize where you're headed? And God is that way too, right? So how do you deal with that correction? I mean, do you even listen to when God says something? Like if you can... Those are toll booths and checkpoints along the way. You know, start out by obeying. You know, let's go back to it. How do you view gifts? Are they, you know, is your happiness? Are you content? And how do you deal with correction? And are you listening? Do you just pray and go, thanks, God. Here's my Santa Claus list.
Yeah.
Just move on. Like,
I mean, great points, Jason. I think, you know, a very practical thing as we enter into this political season is, because one of these things that we all have access to, everyone has a platform. And I would encourage all of us, you know, sometimes the best thing you can do is not say anything. Sometimes it's best to withdraw from something because it will bring you down a road that can paint a negative light. Again, remember what we kind of started off the podcast with is we're all ambassadors. Anyone that has said that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, it doesn't just apply to what you want it to apply and when you want it to apply. It's a 24/7, 365 kind of job that you signed up for because he paid a steep, steep price for all of us that choose to follow him. And, you know, there's a standard, you know, whatever you do in life, as I tell my kiddos all the time, like there's a standard, there's consequences, right? So maybe before you send that post, maybe before you engage uncle, whoever, aunt, so-and-so, mom, dad, just say, hey, you know what? I'm just not going to have this conversation, right? Again, not who someone's going to vote for, but how, right? And if you go back to the source of truth, it becomes pretty clear. It steers you in the right way, the best way that you possibly can. But I also want to make this point really clear, too, for those who you don't agree with, right? Because this is something you won't find in the Bible either. You didn't see Jesus talking down about Caesar and the Romans.
No.
And if you don't believe me, go see if you can find a scripture where, and any of us that have been on social media, you don't even have to be on social media. You just turn on your TV and you listen how people are dehumanized. And you listen to how, just because of their ideologies, that's between them and the Lord. Again, it goes back to something I said earlier. God is sovereign. And if you look at the book of Kings, he didn't make any favors with his chosen nation, Israel, who is still here, still standing, and will be for all of eternity. He brought some pain to them when they chose to go a different way. And we should always be mindful of that. it's easy to say that this group or these people are bringing things down when we probably should take a look in that mirror and how am I living out my life as an ambassador for Christ, if I call myself that, right? What kind of fruit am I producing in the community around me? Who am I voting on the local level? Let's forget about Washington. What's going on in your local school boards? Get involved with some of those amendments. Know what's going on around you with your children. That's really where the rubber meets the road. So practicality from my standpoint, we're going to do a follow-up episode here, but Jason, I'll give you the final thoughts as we wrap up.
No, I love what you're saying. Is as we look at this year's election through the Christian lens, if you ask me, and Colby and I have talked about this quite a bit, I'm a kingdom man. That's who I vote. I vote for the kingdom, right? And that is my allegiance, and that's how I vote. I search out those issues in the Bible, and I go, this is this, this is this, this one means more than this, and it is. And you may look at that, or someone else might, and go, man, these are the issues I chose. Mm-hmm. But and as we do this, at no point, you know, I love how Jesus puts it, because it's really, he puts people in power, and he takes people out. And it is for your, it is for our correction. It is for our restoration as a nation. And whoever gets put into office, it's not a surprise, but God has them there for a purpose, and he can change their heart in a moment.
Yeah.
So I go back to it. And if you don't align with Christian values and you're like, hey, I'm just not going to vote aligned with Christian values, then are you being that good ambassador for Christ?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I mean, votes count 100%. I absolutely believe it. But I believe your heart and what it is aligned with counts way more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well said. Well said. Well, folks, that is another episode of the Jonathan Project podcast. A day late, but not a dollar short. It's right on time, as the good Lord has divinely put this time before. So if you want to find this episode or any episode, you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Apple, you name it. I want to give a shout out. We were just named on the National Coalition Ministries for Men. That's a big, big acronym.
That's a lot of words.
One of the top Christian podcasts for men. So, you know, slowly but surely, we're doing things for the kingdom. We're going to take wins where we get them, because Satan sure doesn't want to give us wins in the social media world. That's for sure. Because, you know, anyways, that's a whole nother podcast episode. You can find us, because I didn't start off this way, as I'm off my footing, at thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to come speak to men, boys, girls, businesses, you name it. We would love to come speak to you, be a part of that, and bring some good biblical perspective on what it means to be a man in this modern society. So again, thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. The Jonathan Project Podcast at gmail.com. So
you got
thank
it.
You, Jason, for your gracious time, your support, you and your family's prayers and love. We appreciate it over here across the Gulf here from you. But man.
Appreciate you having me on. I meant to say, hey, Tyler, we're just a day late. He hit me up this morning. He's like, what's going on? I had a couple of them, but Tyler did. So, hey, Tyler, thanks.
Sorry, Tyler. It was my fault. It was a rough. It's been a rough go, but we're back on our feet, fighting and swinging. So, all right, brother. Talk to you again soon.
See you, man.
All right.